It's a dangerous place to be. And so I hope that the Lord has already spoken to your heart this service and you have done business with him. If he hasn't spoken to you, I hope he will through this portion. This is where God directly speaks to us from his word. Let's turn to the 37th Psalm, Psalm 37. And I won't keep you long this morning, but I will try my best to get what is on our heart to you. And you receive it as the Lord gives it to us. Psalm 37, let's stand together. You've been seated a while. We'll reverence God's word as we read and let you stretch your legs a minute. If you're visiting with us, thank you so much for being here. You're an honored guest. We're so glad to have you. Hope you'll come back and be with us anytime you can. Good to meet our 7-foot-tall brother this morning. He's head and shoulders above the rest of us in reality. Jeff said we got us a ringer when it comes to our basketball season. That's right. Psalm 37. Look down in verse 25, if you will. Very familiar text. This is David, the psalmist, writing. He said, I have been young and am now old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, his seed is blessed. You can have a seat. Thank you for standing. The psalmist said again, I have been young and am now old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. I read these verses again this week and was reminded of just how good God has been to me. God has been good to me. I have no complaints over the goodness of God in my life. Anything that he's given to me has not been warranted. It's just been truly the mercy and graciousness of God, because I sure hadn't deserved any of it. And David, you all know, we could take the time this morning and go back and look and put the magnifying glass on different aspects or areas or periods of David's life, and you could find all kind of problems and sin, periods of sin and backsliding. But the psalmist, David, said, I have been young and I'm old. And the bottom line is this, I have no regrets. I am satisfied as a child of God. And listen, I have to say the same this morning. I am A-okay with God. I have no regrets for where he has me in life. Now, I do have regrets when it comes to what I have put into it and to my shortcomings and to my sin and my downfalls. I got tons of regrets. But when it comes to God and what he has done for me and where he has brought me to, I have no regrets. And I want to deal with that this morning, if we can, for a few minutes. And try to encourage all of us to get to the place in our life where we can be honest toward the Lord and say, Lord, where you have me at now, I'm good with. I'm satisfied. I'm stable, and I'm glad to be serving where you have me. I'm glad to be doing what you have me doing. May not be what you chose to do, but it is what God chose for you to do. And listen, there is no place of peace outside of the will of God for your life. What he called you to do and what he willed for you to do is what you better find yourself doing, whether you want to or not. My first inclination was not to stand up on a Sunday morning and preach to people. I took failing grades in school because I was so nervous about getting up in public and speaking. I hated to do that, but that's what God called me to do. So I could spend the rest of my life disobeying and running and fleeing from the will of God, or I could just submit and follow, and I did that, and thank the Lord I have found out. There's no life like living the life in God's will, doing what he called you to do. I have no regrets of that. Amen. And so I'm grateful for the life that God has allowed me to live. I'm grateful that God has brought me to this place in my life. I'm not as old as some of you, but I'm not as young as some of you. Already this morning, somebody has said something about my gray hair. And hey, I don't mind it being gray. As long as it's still there, I'm claiming it. Whatever color it may be, I'm still claiming it and happy with it. But listen, I'm not getting any younger. I'm getting older. But at this point in my life, I have to raise my hand to heaven and say, I have no regret for where God has me. I'm thankful for the wife God gave me. I'm grateful. I have no regrets over the woman God chose for me to have and live life with. I have no regrets. My children ain't perfect. My wife ain't perfect. My life ain't perfect. But I have no regrets over the four beautiful girls the Lord gave me to live life and raise in this life. I love that. I have no regret. This church is far from perfect. But I have no regret, Brother Jackie, that God called me to this place and put me in this spot to serve and live my life for Him. I'm not backing up. I'm not looking for an exit ramp. No, I'm looking to get engaged and go forward for the glory of God because I'm living in His purpose for my life. And there's no better way to live. Number one this morning, I have no regrets when it comes to the path that I have taken. When I was 13, I believe, I'd have to check with Brother Cameron to see if that's how old I was when I got saved. He's a better mathematician than me. 14. See? I started to text you about 4 this morning and get that right. I didn't figure you'd appreciate the early morning text. But when I was 14, it was in 1991, September, matter of fact, this month, 1991, the 21st of September, I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And from that point till now, He has took me in and secured me and sustained me and never forsaken me, been with me the whole way. But when I got saved, I never dreamed of what I was getting in on. Oh, yes, it was a wonderful day, the day God saved me. I mean, He forgave me and cleansed me and washed all my sin away, made me heaven bound, and never would I have to worry about going to hell. But I never knew at that day. I mean, how many years ago? 31 years ago. I never dreamed of the life that God was giving me. I knew I was getting eternal life, but I didn't understand how much of the abundant life He was giving me right here. I mean, listen, did you know you don't have to wait till you get to heaven to receive abundant life? I mean, listen, Jesus said, I come to give you life and life more abundantly. He come to give us life that is worth living. There is no life like living the life that Jesus has pointed out and given us to live. And so we see... I got saved at 13, but it was shortly after that I began to realize there was more to this life than just being saved. As I grew older, I come to understand that there were two paths, even in the Christian life. You do know, and you've been saved long enough to know, getting saved don't fix everything. No, it don't. Getting saved don't make you a sinless person. Getting saved doesn't eradicate the old man. Getting saved still leaves you with issues. But I realized there were two paths that I had to choose. And the path, one was the path of the wicked. Even as a saved person, even as a saved young man, it didn't take me long into my teenage years to realize I still had tendencies that would want to get me on the wicked path and allure me to wicked friends and take me to wicked places and cause me to commit wicked deeds. But however, there was another path, and it was a path of righteousness. And I had to choose. I mean, being saved didn't mandate me to go to the path of righteousness. I was righteous as a saved person, but I still had to choose every day, many times a day, which path I was going to walk. And so do you. I hope I'm not going to church with a bunch of people who thinks they're perfect. I probably wouldn't have to leave church today to point out where you're not perfect, but I promise all I would have to do is go ask your children or your wife how perfect you really are. And we all know none of us are. We've all sinned. But notice how many times David referred to this distinction of righteousness and the righteous path versus the wicked. Just right here in chapter 37, verse 16, the Bible said, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Verse 17, for the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. Verse 21, the wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. Verse 25, I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Verse 29, the righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. Verse 30, the mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. Then verse 32, the wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. Verse 39, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And so over and over he's pointing out this distinction. There is a path of righteousness and there is a path for the wicked. And boy, I'm telling you, I have no regrets. Listen, I have regrets over the times that I chose the wicked path. I have regrets over the times that I've fallen short and I would veer and go the wrong way. But I have no regrets this morning over every time I said, Lord, I'm going to go with you. Lord, I'm choosing the right path. I'm choosing paths of righteousness for thy name's sake. I have no regrets over saying, yes, Lord, save me. I have no regrets over saying, yes, Lord, I'll preach for you. I have no regrets over saying, yes, Lord, I'll marry the woman you chose for me to marry. I have no regrets in walking in paths of righteousness. None. He's never failed me. He's never led me wrong. Every time I get in the path that is righteous, I end up in the right place with the right people, doing the right thing. But left to my own ingenuity and working it out my own way, I ended up in that wicked path and I end up in trouble every time. But I'm saying I have no regrets when it comes to this path of righteousness. None. David started the chapter in verse 1 with a strong admonition to not envy the evildoers. Listen, verse 1, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Listen, young people, I see this often, and it ain't just young people, but especially young people, please hear me. Don't look to the world and think, man, they just get by with everything and they have all the fun and all the fun is out there in the world. Listen, their day will come. I promise you, listen, there is pleasure in sin, but it's just for a season. And the devil hooks the bait that he puts out there and he's wanting to hook you and wreck and ruin your life. So don't be allured by the world in its ways. Because there is a path. But if you want to live a life of no regret, don't choose that path. Don't choose that path. So many of our young people can't take their eyes off the world. They just got to have it. And you see where they're marching and you see where they're heading. And we wave flags and we say, no, don't go that way. There's danger ahead. There's destruction ahead. We've been there and we've done that. And you're going to fall. And great's going to be the fall thereof. Don't go that way. Listen, I am gray-headed, young people. I remember sitting where you're sitting, looking at an old preacher, old gray-headed preachers, and saying, they don't know where I'm living. They don't know what I'm doing. They can't cope and understand with what I'm going through. I'm here to tell you, I ain't that much older than you. I may look older than you, but I ain't that much older than you. And I know where you're living, and I know the things you're facing. Don't go that way. You live the rest of your life with regret and heartache and scars and wounds from the devil. Don't never put that beer to your lip. Don't never put that joint to your mouth. Don't never let your eyes see things they can't unsee. We're living, hey listen, I know this is crazy, but it's got to be said. We're living, do you know what the number one cause, the number one killer for teenagers are in America? It was suicide, but today it's been surpassed. Fentanyl. Teenagers getting a pill from one of their buddies one time. Every day I see it. Every day. Over 100,000 teenagers this year will take one pill and die. And the devil, please hear me, don't go that way. You don't need that. And it won't be you living in regret. It'll be your parents who buried you.
Yeah.
Don't go that way. God help you, don't go that way. They've bought into the lies that the evildoer somehow has a better life and always wins. But I'm here to tell you, they do not have a better life. I can testify for one who's been on that side of the fence and who's now on this side. There is no better life than this side. There is no satisfaction and joy like living in paths of righteousness. There's nothing that sustains and satisfies and brings joy to your heart and soul like living in paths of righteousness. So don't take the bait. Amen. By the way, that ain't just for teenagers. You grown men, you married men, you that are planning to be married, learn to be in love with your wife. You don't need what that Jezebel at work is promoting. I don't care how much she flirts with you. You better run. You better take notes from Joseph and leave your coat and run. And I don't care what flattering words he says to you, man. Hey, learn to love your wife. Learn to love your husband. Learn to love your children. Man. What God give you. Hey, quit talking about how good the church up the road is. Or how God give you a church. Make your church as great as it can be. Amen. And live with no regrets. Don't get to the end of the thing and say, I wish I'd have done more for my church. I wish I'd have got more involved in this. Hey, do it. Do it now. You're walking the path now. Don't get to the end of the journey with regret. Live the life you're living in paths of righteousness. There's no life like the abundant life that only comes through Christ as paths of righteousness. You remember what the psalmist, the same psalmist said, Psalm 23, He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Amen. I have no regrets for the path I have taken. Number two, I have no regrets for the person that I have trusted. He has never forsaken me. Ever. He's never left me. No matter how many times I've veered, no matter how many times I've fallen, no matter how many times I've come in short, He's always been there to pick me up and brush me off and forgive me and embrace me. And He's always been there. And I have no regrets over the person I've trusted. His name is Jesus. I've failed Him, but He's never failed me. I've disappointed Him many, many times, but He's never disappointed me, ever. I've strayed from Him, but He's never left my side. And if you're saved, you can testify to that. David said, I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken. David has seen a lot of forsaking in his day. Keep in mind, David knows what it feels like to be forsaken. Just go back down memory lane through David's life and think about a couple of these. His brothers got angry with him and falsely accused him when he asked to fight Goliath. He had been the victim of jealousy and envy by the king that he loved and ministered to. He had to avoid being pinned to the wall by javelins on two separate occasions. He had to say goodbye to his dearest friend Jonathan and was never able to see his face again. His wife Michael mocked him for worshiping God and despised him in her heart. His own son Absalom tried to take his kingdom from him, and he had to flee for his life. David had seen his fair share of people that forsook him, but he stood up and said, God ain't one of them. Never, not one time, could I lay that to his charge. He's been faithful and true. I say amen to that. Psalm 27:10, when my father, it's David the same one, pen this, when my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. It was David that said, the same one, Psalm 94:14, for the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. It was David that said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I have had a lot of people in my lifetime that has left me high and dry. People that promised they'd be there to the end. I mean, preacher, we for you, we with you. We'd never vote against you. We'd fight for you. Just for them to be the sorry low-life devil that starts the whole cabal to make the mess a bigger mess. I've had people I've poured my life into. People I've took money out of my own children's mouth and give them to eat. And stayed away from my family when they needed me so I could help their family. And prayed for them and poured my life into them just to have them up and one day decide, well, I didn't shake their hand or I didn't hug their neck. And they just leave without ever saying bye. Without ever giving a reason. Just gone. Walk out of your life just as fast as they walked in. Boy, that hurts. I'm telling you, that hurts. And you feel forsaken and forgotten and unimportant. I've had some that promised they'd be there just to leave. But I have to say there's one that I've leaned on. And I'm telling you, he has never, never, ever let me down, left me alone, forsaken me. He's been there. And I'll say this about our church. We got a good church. A good church. We ain't all we should be. We ain't nowhere near what we could be. But we're headed there. And if you'll hang with us and help us, we might get there. But I'll tell you up front, publicly, there's people in this church, and you're looking at one of them who will let you down. The best of men are men at best, and men and women will let you down. So get your eyes off men. Get your eyes off preachers. And get your eyes off of deacons. Get your eyes off of teachers. And get your eyes on one who will never, ever, ever let you down. Because if you keep your eyes fixated upon him, he will never lead you astray. He will never detour you. He will always be there faithful and true for you. And you will never fall if you keep your eyes on him. But men, they'll fail you. And when men fail you, it's easy to get distracted. Get out. But don't do that. There's one that I put my trust in that has never abandoned me. There's one that I've looked to in the time of need. He's never forsaken me. And I want to go on record this morning and say I have no regrets in the person that I have trusted. None. Hebrews 13:5, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He sticketh closer than a brother. He is a present help in a time of trouble. He is the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He's my best friend. And I've trusted him. I've placed all full faith and confidence and trust that I have in him to never be letting down, to have no regrets. And if you know the Jesus of the Bible and the Jesus that I know personally, you will say amen to that. No regrets. Quickly, number three, the provision that I have tasted. Notice David's statement in verse 25. He said, nor his seed begging bread. Boy, aren't you thankful this morning for the provisions of God? Has God ever provided for you? I could take way more time than I have this morning on just this point and tell you at the times God has mysteriously and miraculously provided for me when no man could. I mean, this is the truth, and people look at you like you're crazy and you're making stuff up, but my wife will verify. I've been in the pulpit preaching. This ain't happened here, I don't think, but in Georgia, our children were little, and we was broke as a joke. I mean, and done went through all the canned food in the cabinets and was down to nothing, and go to church, walk to church, her sing and I preach and carry them babies back home to think, what are we going to eat? Just to get back home, and somebody had pulled down the driveway and put bags and bags of groceries right on time, right when we were down to the last can. Just miraculously, God provided. And that's just physical things. God's paid my bills. God's put tires on my truck. God's bought me washing machines and dryers and put clothes on my back and food in my belly. And He's been good to me. He's provided for me. And I have no regrets in the provisions of God. And that's just the physical things. Think about the spiritual provisions. I mean, He's given me grace and mercy. And listen, goodness and mercy follow me. He has been so, so good to provide every ounce of forgiveness I've ever needed. I've never come to Him and He said, oh, I'm out today. No, I have no regrets when it comes to the provisions of God. Listen. David was testifying to the fact that God's people have the joy of being recipients of God's hand and God's bread. Proverbs 4 says, enter not into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of evil men, for they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. The wicked eat too, but not the same food that we eat as believers. David's testimony is simple. I have no regrets for what my Heavenly Father has provided me. David mentioned several of God's provisions in these verses. The provisions of bread in verse 25, the provisions of mercy in verse 26. He is ever merciful. And so, over and over, you can look around in your life and you don't have to look far to see how God has provided for you. You say, ah, quit giving all the glory to God. I'm the one who gets up and works every day, and I'm the one who goes punches the time card, and I'm the one who put the money in the bank. Who give you the energy and the health to be able to go do that? Who give you the mind to be able to go? Who keeps your heart beating and your lungs pumping? Oh yes. The earth is His and the fullness thereof. You don't own anything. It's on loan from God. Amen. Amen. I have no regrets to the path that I have taken, the person I have trusted, the provisions that I have tasted, and finally, to the posterity that I have trained. And I'll hit this and be done. Twice David mentioned his children, his seed. The first time was in verse 25, and the bread of the seed. The second time was in verse 26, and the blessing. Makes no mistake. Listen, make no mistake. Choosing to serve God is a generational decision. So it don't matter if I serve God. This is my life. I'm my own man. I ain't hurt nobody else. If you are that blind and dumb and ignorant, no, you're not, I wouldn't say you're dumb, you're just ignorant. You don't know no better. If you really think that, if you really think you can live your life and it not affect others, and it not touch other people, your children are watching you. Your grandchildren are watching you, and they are going to mimic and follow and become who you are. Not what you want to be, not what you say you are, but who you are. That's who they become. Make a decision. When I get to the end of being a daddy, when I get to the end of being a granddaddy or a mama or a grandmama, that I'm not going to have regrets and wish I had and see my children and my grandchildren and on dope and out on the streets and not even know where they are because I lived a life of regret. Yeah. You better make the decision while you can, while you have influence. Notice what God's word said about the seed of the wicked. Psalm 37:28, for the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. And I mentioned some things that our children could end up on dope and on skid row, but what's even worse than that? They could end up in hell, cut off.
Amen.
Cut off.
Yeah.
I can't think of anything worse. I can't think of anything more damnable than for me to get to heaven and turn around and open my eyes and look around and notice one of my children that I spent my life preaching to people and begging people to trust Christ and look around heaven and my child be missing. And some of you are going to spend your whole life working for a dollar and trying to build a bigger business and a better paycheck and bigger houses and better cars and get to the end of it and have a life full of regret because you lost your children. I don't regret spending time with my children. I don't. Hey, some things in life are worth more than money. Mm-hmm. I want to go on record and say I have no regrets in raising my children for the Lord. None. I have no regrets for teaching my children to want God's will for their life. I have no regret for exposing them to preaching and teaching of the Word of God. None. I have no regret for bringing them up in old-time religion. None. None. I have no regret for training them to obey and respect authority. Would to God some of you would learn to teach your children that. The school would thank you. The police officers would thank you. Amen. The preacher would thank you. Amen. That's right. I have no regret for admonishing them to keep themselves pure till they're married. None. I have no regret for disciplining them and chastening them to protect them. I have no regret for making sure they followed my rules as long as they lived in my house. I don't regret that. Amen. I have no regret for being the spiritual leader and pointing them to God from the day they were born. None. I regret deeply that I have failed the Lord, but I never regret training them to love the Lord. I don't regret that. The only regret I have in that regard is that I didn't do more. Amen. I have no regret that I've preached to them before they were even born that Jesus saves. Some of the first words, this would happen when the girls were in the womb, had yet to discover planet Earth. I'd be preaching and Jenny would know. They'd start kicking up a storm when they'd hear my voice preaching. They'd hear it and they'd get excited. I said, I had shouters before they even come to earth. I don't regret that. That's a wonderful memory to know. Hey, can I say, don't live your life with regret. Be the daddy they need you to be. Be the papa they need you to be. Be the spiritual mama, the praying mama your child needs you to be. I promise you, they will come to the end of their life and say, oh, I wish you'd have took me shopping more. I wish you'd have bought me more. They're going to say, I wish you'd have spent more time with me. I wish you'd have showed me more about the Lord and encouraged me to become more of a Christian. That's what they want and need. Amen. A life without regret. Let's stand together. Father, in Jesus' name, we love you. Thank you, Lord. As David said, I've been young and I'm old. Lord, I've never seen the righteous forsaking nor begging bread. Lord, he had no regrets for serving you and neither do I. Lord, I pray this morning that you would make that the heart's plea of every believer. And God, if there's somebody here lost and never been saved, don't know what it is to truly be converted, I pray you would show them, Lord, the error of their ways. And God, I pray you'd convict them of their sin. And their condition, Lord, not for what they've done, but for who they are, a sinner in need of salvation. Help us all, Lord, to look at the regrets we already have in our own lives and pattern our lives to live different. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. These altars are open. If you need to come, you come. Step out in a hurry. We're not going to stay long. But if you need to do business with the Lord, you come quickly. Right now, in Jesus' name, you step out and come. If you need to be saved, we'd be glad to take the Word of God and show you how you can be. People are praying. Do business with the Lord while you can. Amen. Would you come? As these pray and she plays, you step out and do business with the Lord. Stephen Closeman.